Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, yo, yo. Hey, remember them niggas we seen the other day?
Yeah.
Hey, they right up the street, man.
Oh, what?
Go get these bitch-ass niggas, man.
Shit, man, I'm chilling with my girl. I'ma sit this one out, bruh.
Nigga, what?
You ain't riding for your team, fuck you mean, nigga.
You mean,
this
nigga?
Shit real, exactly what it seems, nigga.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute, you was talking all that hard shit. Now it's time to put in work. Where the fuck your heart, bitch? Tell my crew I got y'all, I take us to the top, dawg.
Yeah.
Smoking to my eyes lost, we don't get there, that's my fault. Falling to my squad fall, I won't go there without y'all. You think it's safe to pop off, this combo give you lockjaw. Niggas say they rock raw, just trying to prove they not soft. By far, that dumbass shit right there gon' get you knocked off. You don't want that consequence, I know your bitch ass wanna snitch. Telling for the fun of it, it's crazy how this jungle get. Every day I watch the snakes that try to get me locked away. Not today, that's why I call you bitch, you got a lot to say. Shut your mouth, look me in my face and get your posture straight. Before I do, you foul for crossing lines like you Dr. J. Cock and spray, hibernate with fishes, nigga, hop for late. Cooperation's how you operate, I bet you ovulate. Put your pussy ass on, make me grab your throat and slap your hoe. Niggas steady rapping, say they trapping, fuck you acting for. Be yourself, you ain't never been no wig splitter.
Hell no.
You don't grip triggers, nah, you the bitch, nigga. Be yourself, saying how you doing shit bigger.
What?
You don't get figures, nah, you the bitch, nigga. Be yourself, you ain't really about them licks, nigga.
Fuck no.
Getting rich quicker, nah, you the bitch, nigga. Be yourself, I won't even throw my fist with you.
I'ma get back at these niggas, man.
So what?
What?
Oh fuck, when it's time to bust it, you got no nuts.
Nah.
Yeah, you been a hoe, I hold it down like I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
Niggas get a zone and say they on, but let me coach you. Get your hustle up or lead a game if you ain't playing hard. How you gonna ball until you fall, but you won't take the charge? Nigga, that's the fundamentals. Told you that it's consequential. Gotta watch your friends, cause in the end, they be the ones that get you. Over something simple, probably like a couple dollars. When they could've took the time to holler about the fucking problem. I hit the booth and get them loose, you know I spit the truth. Introduce you to this dying breed, but see, I'm living proof. Nigga, that's some real ones left. Grinding, but I'm still myself. Get the team, yeah, you know the dream. We gotta build the wealth. Why you say you stacking dough? You ain't got no racks to blow. Niggas say they rapping, say they trapping. Fuck you acting for. Be yourself, you ain't never been no wig splitter.
Hell no.
You don't grip triggers, nah, you the bitch, nigga. Be yourself, saying how you doing shit bigger.
What?
You don't get figures, nah, you the bitch, nigga. Be yourself, you ain't really about them licks, nigga.
Fuck.
Hello and welcome to another Friday night of Nothing to Lose. What do we got to lose on a Friday night, right? Nothing to lose. All right, you had that opening track there. That was a song from the debut album Road to Riches by Street Money, who will be our guest tonight. We'll be talking to shortly and talking about the whole creative process and everything and the production of his debut album, which I've listened to quite a bit here lately, and it's pretty damn good. But in the meantime here, I'm gonna bring on my co-host here, Mr. Michael D. Gosinski and Dr. Quinn. Mr. Gosinski, Dr. Quinn, are you guys there? Hello, guys. Hello, all right.
Hola.
Another Friday night with nothing to lose, right? Here we go, nothing to lose.
Yippee,
yeah. But of course, you know, as we start every episode of Nothing to Lose, we have to stand up, remove our hats or, you know, our wigs or whatnot and put our hands on our hearts, and we got the Pledge of Allegiance. We got to do it. We just, okay, ready? Are you guys ready? Are you standing up? Can you, Quinn? Okay.
I'm standing up.
Okay, Quinn, I was just a little worried about you. I'm afraid you might be too intoxicated, but okay, here we go.
No, not yet.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I tell you, damn, that brings a tear to my eye every time we play it, and especially the applause at the end there. So anyhow, here we are, another Friday night with nothing to lose, and our special guest tonight is Street Money, a.k.a. Streets. We'll be talking to him in just a few moments here about his debut album, Road to Riches.
Awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. So, guys, quickly, I mean, what's been going on here with you guys here in the last week or so? I mean, anything new, anything? Yeah, I see, exactly, yeah. She's already three sheets to the wind, didn't she?
Surprisingly, I should be drunk after the events of Monday, but I am not. But I guess we could stop for the slumber party. So I'm trying to make myself some dinner here. Or heat myself up. I am in an undisclosed location right now.
Undisclosed, huh? Wow.
Ooh.
Okay, that's provocative. That's very provocative. And we'll talk about in the second hour of the show. But for now, we're gonna focus on our main guest here tonight.
All right.
Street Money, and I'm really anxious to talk to him and hear about the whole process. You know, I mean, it's a great album, and it really reminds me of it takes me back to the late '80s. I'm ancient, I know. Late 80s, early 90s and stuff, you know, some of the music that I liked a lot. And all right, so we're going to bring on Street Money and talk about his debut album here, Road to Riches. All right, Mr. Street Money, are you there, buddy?
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing, man?
Hey,
good,
man.
Hey,
what's up?
I got to tell you, man. This... I mean, first of all, I've listened to this album, and it takes me back, the Road to Riches. It takes me back to the late 80s. I was into Too Short, NWA. I would blare that stuff every morning when I was getting ready for school, taking a shower and stuff.
Yeah.
My parents were like, you know, they'd be hearing like, fuck the police and all this shit. And they're like,
yeah,
Turn that down. But no, it's great stuff. I love it, man. This album is great. This Road to Riches, it really is. The Ace Boogie song is great. I mean, I've listened to this album like three or four times over the past couple of days on DatPiff. Is that the, yeah, DatPiff.com?
Yeah, it's on DatPiff.com, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm curious, you know, what's the creative process like for you? I mean, how did this all come about, this Road to Riches? And
well, really, man, you know, the ultimate goal is always, you know, you're trying to get on as far as that. But I used to be on the as far as Road to Riches, I just start with that. As far as Road to Riches, I wanted to bring, you know, a quality project out. You know, I wanted my debut release to be something that reflected me. You know what I'm saying? That's why, actually, because the mixtape is called Street Money Road to Riches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like Street Money Volume 1, which is also, you know, my rap name. So it's an introduction to myself, too, as well.
Right.
And, you know, just letting everybody know what I'm about. You know, because I released a demo a couple months back called Chump Change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had five songs off of the mixtape that I was trying to let, you know, fill people out. And, but, yeah, man, you know, obviously, you know, one thing that going to the creative process, you know, that's on the cover, you can see. If you know what I'm talking about.
You mean the money sign with the spliff and all that?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of creative people, you know, be it music, be it poetry, be it, painting, that, you know, they find... Yeah, and I mean, that helps them as far as the creative process goes. I mean, what's it like for you? Do you have like a preconceived idea of how you're going to put together a song or you know, lyrics and all that? Or, I mean, what's the inspiration like for you? I mean, do you just, does it just come to you spontaneously? Or, I mean, what, I find that fascinating.
Well, sometimes, honestly, man, it just depends, man. You know, shit, sometimes I can't think of a thing. You know what I'm saying? And then there'll be other times, like, I'll be sitting around, I'm like, man, I need to find a beat. You know what I'm saying? I'll listen to a beat, and then something will spark to me, and then it's just going. You know, I can't stop writing, and it's just going like, man, I'm working on this song. This thing, I know I got a song done for like a half hour. You know, then another time it might be like, you know, a couple days to get the whole song done, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It just comes and goes, really. But
I can relate to that. I mean, yeah, that definitely.
I got a question. Did you want, since Brian has talked about, you know, this sounds a lot more old school, did you want, is that the effect you were going for? Because, you know, a lot of artists today try to go new, different, we're going to create some sort of new sound. So, you know, what was your...
Well, one thing that might have played into that, because I don't listen to a lot of new school that's out right now. You know, like I don't like a lot of it. It's not appealing to me. I just leave it at that.
Okay.
And, But yeah, I was just saying, like, you know, because I still listen to like a lot of older rap, and I just listen to like a few select artists, so they might play into it.
Okay.
So who are your biggest influences then?
Biggest influences.
Yeah, who do you listen to? If it's just if you
yeah, that's on. I listen to a lot of listen to Big L, you know, Tupac. That's cliche answers though, right there. But then I also listen to, you know, Gucci Mane, Young Jeezy, Yo Gotti, Joe Budden. J. Cole is one new guy that I listen to though.
Okay.
That is one new guy that I listen to. Styles P, Jada Kiss, most definitely. I like a lot of East Coast rap, you know, and then like that old Southern rap too, you know, like that old Cash Money, like Hot Boys, No Limit.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely on those.
Now, without name checking, because I'm certainly not going to make you name check, what is it about today's rap that you don't find appealing?
The content, you know, like a lot of people don't have anything to say. Like it's, you know, it might be like a one liner every now and then. Like you got one in a verse or one like every 8-9 bars. You know what I'm saying? But then it's just that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody's talking about the same thing. And, like, don't get me wrong, like, sometimes, you know, I do get on those same subjects, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I don't know, it's just, I just feel like it's garbage. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of the music that's getting put out.
Oh, yeah, it is. I have to, yeah, I concur 100%. There's a lot of the mainstream, you know, radio stations and, you know, the mainstream stuff that you hear is garbage. And, you know, it's more the true art and the true musicians and stuff, it's kind of underground and all that, which brings me to this seems like it's a whole, like, subgenre or whatnot, but I know it's been around for a long time, this whole concept of mixtapes. You know, I think a lot of people have a misconception of what a mixtape is. The first thing they think is, you know, old cassettes, you know, and putting together a song list and all that, but, you know, the mixtapes, in as far as hip hop goes and everything, I mean that dates back to like the mid 70s or so, I think.
Yeah. That was a while back, you know.
Uh-huh.
Then like nowadays, a lot of guys are dropping albums that are like mixtapes. You know, I mean, are dropping mixtapes that are like albums.
Right. Huh. Exactly. I've noticed that it's become more of a trend. And it's become more and more prominent, and a lot of good stuff is coming out of that. I mean, so exactly what goes into, like, putting together, I mean, as far as, okay, you write, you obviously write your own lyrics, right? I mean, correct?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. I always write everything 100%.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. So you actually, you know, mix them and stuff, too? I mean, I find
fascinating. I'm talking about as far as my lyrics. Yeah, I like my lyrics 100%. As far as my the mixing and stuff like that, the mixing is done by, you know, an engineer, like usually whatever studio I'm recording at. Future and Sean Young, they're the ones who mix my mixtape, Street Money. Because Street Money is a, because I heard you say album earlier, Street Money is actually a mixtape.
Right, album. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Mixtape. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing. And like, I'm really, really fascinated by this whole this mixtape thing. I mean, that's, like I said, not many people know what a mixtape is. You know what I mean?
Total
misconception.
But, you know, like a lot of, and some people on that, man, like, because, you know, some people nowadays, it's a misconception on it, too. Like, you know, a mixtape is throwaway songs or songs that didn't make the album cut.
Right.
And then all that, you know, but it's like a good promotional tool, just something, you know, that artists put out in between albums, you know, that'll keep the fans entertained. Because nowadays, you know, everything's so personal. You know, you got reality shows.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You got to have everything.
Right. So well, I mean, what's the creative, I mean, the collaborative process like for you, you know, working with engineers who help mix and all that and find beats and you know, mix the music? I mean, the songs, I mean, you know, in your debut mixtape here, I mean, they sound excellent, man. I mean, what's that process like?
Appreciate
it. Very intimate
really,
for you.
Honestly, yeah, honestly, man, because what it is, I mean, you can't say intimate, you know what I'm saying, because it is, you know, personal feelings, man. Like, like I put work into it, of course. And then I put my all into it, man, and then, because it's my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're talking about your life, you can't get more personal than that.
Right.
And then, like, when I'm in the booth as far as collaborating with the engineers, you know, like, I asked them their opinion, you know, hey, does this sound good? You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as, like, whether it be, like, adding the ad-libs here, maybe heightening up the beat here, or maybe I need to take a lyric, you know, take a word out here, you know what I'm saying, on the lyric, to change something out. Like, I want to get opinions, you know, I'm always, I'm always open for that. But I already do have, like, a vision going into it before I even step into the booth on how I want it to sound.
Right, absolutely, yeah. I mean, the whole collaborative, you know, process, that's kind of universal as far as, you know, if you're a true artist and all that, especially like if you're, you know, like working on, you know, music like that or a film, because I went to film school and I've made, you know, worked on films and stuff, and it's like for the final project, I mean, the final product to come out, you have to have that, you have to be open, you know, to collaborating with somebody else and all that, and it usually you get someone else's opinion like that, and they help out, and it turns out beautiful. I mean, yeah, exactly. It really does, and it's you know, when it's finally done and you have it out, it's very, I don't know, a very cathartic experience. Like, you know, just a sudden, like, oh, wow, you know, look what we've done, and seriously. So okay, so here's the thing. I mean, how are you a DJ? Do you like DJ at clubs or anything like that? Or
No. I just strictly record. That's it, man. Just recording.
So you know.
I don't make beats. Nah, I've tried to make beats. I'm horrible at it. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, I'm gonna just stick to recording. Recording and writing.
Right. Okay. Well, excellent. So you don't go to clubs or anything like that and play your music or anything like that, or DJ?
Well, of course, like if I can get some gigs, but yeah, of course. Definitely.
Do you ever perform
like
live?
I performed with Coast to Coast before, like, and then I've also opened up for Webby before. I don't know if you know about Webby and Trill Fam. I've opened up with them for them before, but as far as performances, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Is that something, I mean, performing live, is that something you foresee, like, in the future?
Yeah.
Or is that something, yeah?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I'm trying to get some gigs booked up right now. And then me and actually some of my label mates, me, King Dice, Kip, and Neos B, was supposed to be trying to set up a summer tour to see what that go for.
Where at? You have any idea where you potentially would like to tour or go?
Texas area.
Are there any hot spots?
Yeah, the Texas area.
Texas area, yeah. So are you originally from Texas, or do you just currently live there?
Yeah, well, I was born here. I was raised in Louisiana, but yeah, I stay here right now. That's why that's why I'm residing.
So, is your heart still in Louisiana, or are you a hardcore Texan?
Yeah, always. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always want to go back, man. It's just because I was raised there, you know.
Right.
A lot of memories, a lot of family.
Right. Of course. Of course. All right, well, hey, you know what? We're going to take a quick break and listen to Ace Boogie, another song from your mixtape. All right, we'll be right back. All right.
No problem.
So what's going on, man? Hands down, man. Look, hands down, man.
What the fuck is this?
Everything ain't all right, man?
I ain't eating.
You ain't eating. What you mean you ain't eating? You ain't making this paper, man?
Everybody eat, B.
My whole team eatin', call me Ace Boogie. If a nigga bite the hand and feed him, then I take cookies.
I need that.
Keep that weight pushing, watch what you say to me. You don't gotta like the way I post it, we ain't Facebookin'.
Never that.
Ace Boogie,
Ace Boogie,
Ace Boogie. If a nigga bite the hand and feed him, then I take cookies.
I need that.
Ace Boogie,
Ace Boogie,
Ace Boogie. You don't gotta like the way I'm posted, we ain't Facebookin'.
The cash is straight, stash the weight. Tell my niggas grab a plate. All the moves I navigate, yeah, they bound to pass the hate. School of hard knocks, my pockets throwing every class I
for
take.
Real.
Tried the college route, I'd rather hustle than to graduate.
Real
shit, did it on my own, you gotta feel this. Got it, broke it down, cause it's my niggas that I build with. If you backstab the same knife that you get killed with.
Yeah.
Got love for all my dogs, bitches, more than a little bit. Once again, real shit, yeah, you gotta feel this. Got it, broke it down, cause it's my niggas that I build with. Killing, make a killing, money pillin', cause I'm dealing with. Niggas think I'm Lulu, cause I'm trying to get that real estate. Truthfully, I grew the beat, sharper than some cougar teeth. Go ahead, salute the G. Fuck is you gonna do to me? I'm three times hotter than these squares in the booth and street. Partner do the math, and I'm motherfucking cubic feet. Streets, nigga.
My whole team eatin', call me Ace Boogie. If a nigga bite the hand and feed him, then I take cookies.
I need that.
Keep that weight pushing, watch what you say to me. You don't gotta like the way I'm posted, we ain't Facebookin'.
Never that.
Ace Boogie,
Ace Boogie,
Ace Boogie. If a nigga bite the hand and feed him, then I take cookies.
I need that.
Ace Boogie,
Ace Boogie,
Ace Boogie. You don't gotta like the way I'm posted, we ain't Facebookin'.
I gotta grind, gotta shine. All about a dollar sign. But in profit, steady moving product like it's not a crime. Throw up, there's a problem, I'm up in that Impala flying. Bottom line, plot on mine, end up like the Columbine. Posted up to feed the block, fuck if you agree or not. All my niggas eat a lot, and all my niggas need about a couple O's,
okay.
Couple bowls.
Yep.
Matter of fact, double those.
Man,
it's only supper, all my niggas gonna stomach those. Looking out for Rico, I'm all about that drama, yo. Gotta harden up, it's okay to let that thunder go. This ain't what you want, and everybody and their mama know. When I let that llama blow, tell your niggas mama know. Money I demand to get, making sure them bands are thick. If he ain't talking about it, chunk the deuce like you playing the shit. I ain't trying to hit the ish, you can go and say the bull. I'ma eat and get this money, bruh, until I'm paid in full.
Ace Boogie, my whole team eatin', call me Ace Boogie. If a nigga bite the hand and feed him, then I take cookies.
I need that.
Keep that weight pushing, watch what you say to me. You don't gotta like the way I'm posted, we ain't Facebookin'.
Never that.
Ace Boogie,
Ace Boogie,
Ace Boogie. If a nigga bite the hand and feed him, then I take cookies.
I need that.
Ace Boogie,
Ace Boogie,
Ace Boogie. You don't gotta like the way I'm posted, we ain't Facebookin'.
And we're back. Yeah, that song was Ace Boogie by Street Money from Street Money Road to Riches, his debut album. Hey, Streets, or what do you prefer to be called? Street Money?
Either or.
Either or. I like that. Just kind of roll with it. All right. Yeah. So I'm curious about the name Street Money. I mean, Street Money has some sort of background to it, doesn't it? I mean, what inspired you to be, take on that moniker or that name, Street Money?
Street Money, I mean, because, that's what I know about,
right.
Saying? Street Money. Hustling, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm
hustling.
Saying? Like, shit, just always been a hustler, man, as far as whatever I'm doing. Gotta get it.
All right. Well, okay. Well, okay. So you say you hustling. I mean, that could be interpreted in so many different ways.
Yeah, I know it can be. You know, it's like whatever you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like hustling,
right.
Hustling is really, you know, just busting your ass. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But as far as like with street money, you know what I'm saying? Just getting, trying to prosper, man.
Yeah.
And then
as
far as like, because my name used to be Streets, like, because I used to run a fat rap farm, actually. It was called Underground Legends, like, back when I was like 13 or 14. And my rap name was Streets with a Z. And
really?
I was thinking, I was like, yeah, and I was like, man, I know a lot of guys got this name. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know it's a lot of guys with this name. So I was trying to figure something out that can actually roll with that, too.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, you know what, actually, with the dollar sign right there, it can still be Streets and then street money. So that's why it's either or.
I know. I like that. That's very very clever and, you know, a cool way. And, you know, that can be interpreted in so many different ways, too. And that's something I like sometimes, you know, with all art forms, be it film, music, or whatnot, or books. Sometimes just kind of do something like that and kind of be, you know, ambiguous and sort of let other people read into it, you know. And
yeah,
when you let,
they want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when people read into it, it makes it more personal for them. They're kind of like, hey, yeah, you know, I can relate to this. You know, I can, you know. But, yeah, man. So yeah, you said you've been rapping, what, since you were 13, 14 years old. How'd that even start? How'd that come about?
Really, man, I just always loved music. You know what I'm saying? I remember back when I was like younger, I was, you know, coming up listening to Cash Money and No Limit and all that, you know, like then my older cousins, they would be freestyling.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll try to freestyle, you know what I'm saying? I've never been good at freestyling, but you know, then I moved to Miami. When I was, I was about 14, I moved to Miami. And then, you know, I just started writing from there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I started hearing some beats, and then I was like, yo, I'm actually pretty good at it, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was when I was running that rap form, actually, that's when I started getting better at it. And then, because I started making songs, I got a little mic, went off to school, and that's why I took, you know, like a little hiatus for a while. Because I was actually supposed to drop something like probably about 5 years ago, but then I went off to college playing football and sports and all that, you know, and then I got injured. So
that's
when I got back to the music, yeah.
Football, huh? Football is my favorite. Best sport was my favorite. Wow, so you played some football at high school, college too, college level?
Yeah, high school and college, yeah.
Wow, what position?
Defensive end.
Really? Damn. So that's impressive, man. Who's your favorite football team? I mean, what team?
Oh boy.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia
the
Eagles.
Saints.
Okay.
New Orleans Saints. And New Orleans Saints.
New Orleans Saints, huh? Wow.
Yeah, both of them.
Okay. Cool. Why the Eagles? I mean, given you're obviously a Southerner, Louisiana Saints, I can see that. But
yeah, of course. Really, man, with the Eagles, man, it was my cousin, man. He really used to just always get on my ass with him on Madden when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then so it made me start liking him, you know what I'm saying? So I would play with him against him with the Eagles, too. So we would both be playing with the Eagles and all that. So then I just started liking him.
Donovan McNabb days.
Yeah, back in McNabb days.
McNabb was great back in his, yeah.
Of course, yeah,
McNabb was great, yes. I don't know what's going on right now, to be honest, with the Philadelphia Eagles. They got, like, what, 5-6 different quarterbacks right now, potentially?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's messed
up,
man.
I'm hoping Vic pull that thing out, man. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. There's, like, 5, at least, isn't there?
It is. They got like, Vic. Vince Young. Did they pick up Vince Young again? No, they didn't pick up Vince Young. I'm tripping. but they got that Nick Foles guy.
Yeah.
And then that one guy from USC. Matt Barkley, didn't they draft
him?
Oh,
yes. Holy crap, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be crazy. You know, and I hate to say, I'm hooked on fantasy football. So you know, I watch all this stuff closely. Have you ever played fantasy football?
I tried it like a season or two. I didn't really get into it like that. I couldn't keep up with it. So I was like, all right, I'm good.
That's great.
Yeah, because I was never changing out my rosters.
Yeah, yeah. It's a high maintenance thing, but if you really get into it, it gets addictive. It's so you play football. I mean, okay, and so defensive end, huh? Defensive end. And,
yeah.
So what kind of injury did you sustain? What happened?
I tore my ACL, and then I kept pulling my hamstring.
Huh.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
What do you think about that injury and everything? I mean, did it put you in a different mindset and like I need to move forward with my music,
yeah,
my art, or whatnot?
Yeah,
yeah.
I was like, first I didn't know what I was doing, man. Like after I quit football, you know what I'm saying? I was really just chilling for a little bit, man. I wasn't doing nothing, you know, because for the longest, I thought I was going to go to the NFL, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was going to happen. But then when it didn't work out that way, I had to make moves. So, you know.
Yeah,
music.
So what was the thought process there? It was, if you had this plan, I'm going to be an NFL player, and then that's taken, you know, by injury or whatever. What do you do? It's like, what's the thought process there?
Yeah, really. I was like, I got to do something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
That was just almost my mindset because I always was like, I can't be a bum. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to stay broke. I got to find a way to get some money to provide for myself and then, you know, for whoever I'm going to be with and just make some people good. You know,
right.
So that was why I was doing the sports. And then once the sports didn't work out, it was like, man, I need to make something shake. So I started working a couple jobs, saving up some money. You know what I'm saying? So see what this music go for.
Okay.
And that's why I'm working with this right now. Because actually, you know, because I wasn't on it for the longest, you know. And then one of my coworkers, King Dice, you know, he was like, man, I'm gonna get you back on this music because he heard some of my old stuff. And then, you know, ever since then, just been back on it. That's why I released my tape. It didn't take me long to complete that either. It didn't take that long.
How long?
Yeah,
it was a couple, about 2-3 months.
Wow.
Well, no, it was all right.
Now do you like hit the streets with your mixtape? You know, go around and like hand it to random people? I know a few buddies of mine back in California used to do that. They'd go to grocery store parking lots.
Yeah, I just got through doing that.
You give a ton of them away to try to get your name out there.
Yeah, I ordered a few of them, man. I'm trying to get them out there, you know, as much as possible. I'm giving them away for free, you know, of course, because you can download it for free. But I'm not even worried about the money off of it right now, man. I'm just trying to, you know, get the exposure. I just got to get people to hear it.
How much does the internet and social media and stuff help you with that exposure?
I mean, you know, everybody wants their piece, man. Really,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants their piece, you know what I'm saying? If they're going to do something for you, they want a piece of it. So it's like nowadays, you know, you gotta really know somebody for them to help you out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Really everything on my own, man. Really, it's independent. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing everything on my own, like, as far as, like, unless, but there are some people that's out there helping me, man. Like, you know, Dominic Nadi from, he's helping me out a lot right now, though.
Well, you had mentioned, like, No Limit Records and Cash Money. You know, No Limit, that started out of the trunk of his car, right? So it's possible. You know, you had mentioned how you listen to No Limit and Cash Money, and it's No Limit. It started out of the trunk of his car, you know.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
It is. It definitely is possible.
All right. You know what? We're going to take a quick break and listen to another song here from your mixtape, Street Money, Road to Riches. This is Till I Get It, and we'll be right back, and we'll wrap things up. And you know what? This has been a lot of fun, man. I really appreciate you being on here, and you're welcome to stay on for the rest of the show and have fun with us if you want. We usually have a second half of the show where we talk about some goofy stuff like internet dating and stuff like that. So if you had the time to hang out with us and talk about it, I think people would really like to hear your input. Have you ever tried internet dating? Or?
Nah.
All right.
Yeah. All right. I never got around to doing that.
Okay. All right. Well, here's Till I Get It.
All right.
Work too hard to stop, I gotta get it, yeah. I work too hard to stop, I gotta get it, yeah. I work too hard to stop.
Remember days where it was magic if I saw a penny. Stomach touching and was hungry. See me looking all skinny. Now I got some weight to lose. Let a nigga call Jenny.
Bread.
Treat me like Mufasa cause I'm keeping all these scars with me.
The king.
Pain so deep, a nigga getting no sleep.
Nah.
Trying to duck the police.
Yeah.
A black top OC.
Yeah.
Going through some things so I'm coping when I smoke weed. Can't bear the way I burn trees. Somebody call Smokey.
Smokey.
Homie. Streets, dice, meals, kill, both deep. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Shout out that nigga Jolie.
D. Jones.
The industry a bitch, but the best fuck.
Yeah.
We running trains on this game, and I'm next up.
So,
do this for them niggas doing time and convict. Poet and smoking, remember times when I'm lifted. They stereotype us for all the crimes we committed.
Yeah.
But fuck them, my niggas, cause we gon' shine when we get it.
For real, nigga.
I'ma grind till I get it.
Get it.
I know I'm nice with it. Got no time for the critic.
Got no time.
Where I'm from, it's survival of the fittest.
Fittest.
So I'm not worried about the crimes I committed.
Gotta grind till I get it.
Look at me, define physics.
Physics.
Yeah, I'm getting high, cause the sky is the limit.
Get it in.
Up, it's the grind, cause you know I'm trying to get it.
Get it.
Hear you talking about that life, but yo, I live it.
Look here, I never had shit.
Nah.
Most of them been that rich. Every now and then, you can see me with a bad bitch. I give them mad dick. Never been a cash trick. They back on the Johnson. Ultra sick on chash shit. Balls deep, y'all peep. I swear I hear these walls speak. Saying how these rappers are buffet. Dog meat. I'ma grease them cats, line them up and let my dogs get. Trying to keep my cool, cause I never wanna draw heat. Can't forget before you walk, know you gotta call G. Grandma, I remember every single thing you taught me. Listen to your every word, even when you talk trash. Aight, boy, watch your hard head make a soft ass. Cooking up some collard greens, cornbread and a pot of yams. You know I love you when I make it, yeah, I got the fam. Fast as I get it, I live it, got some big sacks. When you broke, gotta get your tools, nigga, fix that.
And I'm gone.
I'ma grind till I get it.
Get it.
I know I'm nice with it. Got no time for the critic.
Got no time.
Where I'm from, it's survival of the fittest.
Fittest.
So I'm not worried about the crimes I committed.
Gotta grind till I get it.
Look at me, define physics.
Physics.
Yeah, I'm getting high, cause the sky is the limit.
Get it in.
Up, it's the grind, cause you know I'm trying to get it.
Get it.
Hear you talking about that life, but yo, I live it.
Thank you. I'ma grind till I get it. I know I'm nice with it. Got no time for the critic.
Got no time.
Where I'm from, it's survival of the fittest. So I'm not worried about the crimes I committed. Gotta grind till I get it. Look at me, define physics. Yeah, I'm getting high, cause the sky is the limit.
Get it in.
Hit the grind, cause you know I'm trying to get it.
Get it.
Hear you talking about that life, but so I live it.
All right, that was right. Till I Get It.
Till I Get It. I was waiting for Crunchy Black to get on a microphone. That reminded me of a 3-6 Mafia.
I got to ask you something.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, I mean, your album, the song Car Full of Drugs, I swear to God, I love that song, Car Full of Drugs. I mean... inspired that?
Yeah.
What? that's a good one. Car Full of Drugs. I love that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't.
Yeah.
Implicate. You know. Don't implicate yourself.
Next
or you know.
Yeah. You know.
Next question.
No. But seriously,
yeah.
I love that song. It's a good one. It cracks me up. I love it.
No, I do like that. I like that cut a lot too, man. You know, actually, I was thinking about, I was wanting to drop that as a single to see what I can do. You know what I'm saying? Like it was actually gonna be one of the first singles I was gonna drop off the mixtape, and then I went ahead and I changed that decision though.
Yeah.
Just because, you know.
Right.
Just because I don't think it'll get, I don't know if they'll let it get by on the radio or not. So I'm gonna go with Ace Boogie though. I'm about to get a video shot for Ace Boogie.
That'd be the Walmart edited version.
It'd be beep 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 beep. It'd be like Morse code.
You know.
Yeah. No, but seriously, that song, I love it. It's probably one of my favorites actually from the whole mix.
It's one of my favorites, too, because I feel like it's an original cut, too, you know?
Uh-huh.
Most definitely, like, I don't feel like anybody came with anything like that, either.
Right. And, you know, that I find that even more interesting is the fact, you know, do you, as far as getting, like, you know, mainstream, like, or getting on the radio, I mean, you're going to, I mean, yeah, I mean, the music and the songs on here are definitely not anything that, you know, you would hear on the radio or anything. I mean, just because of the content or whatever and, you know, censorship and all that crap. Is there any – do you ever foresee, like, doing something, you know, or putting together, like, a song or two that's a little
more
tame?
Radio friendly.
Get mainstream exposure more so or – I mean
– Yeah, most definitely.
Uh-huh.
I'm working on some cuts right now,
uh-huh.
And then definitely with my next project, because you know we're working on a couple of projects actually with Blacktop ENT. You know I was screaming Blacktop all over the mixtape because that's the label we're trying to build up. Me, Kip,
right.
Dice, and Neos B. You know and. We got some projects, like King Dice got a project out. He's coming out with another one. Kip's about to come out with another project. And with his first project, his debut. And Neos B is about to come out with his debut. And then, we definitely going to have some cuts, too, because we're going to have a compilation that we're coming out with. And,
excellent.
Definitely about to start pushing for this mainstream. You know, this is just the beginning of it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So... it's like a two-year process, you know what I'm saying? You got to grind it out because nothing happens overnight. And if it does happen overnight, that's just a blessing. Like anything is a blessing pretty much.
So, I mean, how's that feel to you, though? I mean, because I love these songs on this mixtape. I mean, they're excellent. But, it's going to be hard to get them, you know, they'll never get, like, mainstream, like, radio play or anything because... how do you feel? Do you feel like you're compromising your true artistic vision, or are you comfortable with like making that move and trying to like sort of censor yourself and make it?
I'm gonna keep doing me, really, because like what's gonna happen is I'm gonna keep doing me, And I just need to get people to hear my music. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And when I keep getting people to hear my music and then they like it, like, they're not going to have a choice but to play it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like,
okay,
once you get to a point to where, like, everyone, people's requesting it, and then people are really selling it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you got to get the support from the fans, though, of course. You know what I'm saying? So that's the, that's my main focus right now, is getting that support.
Where,
once I'm,
where,
once
where
I got
can,
it.
Where can people go to support you? Like, you got a Twitter, I mean, Facebook?
I got my Twitter, at StreetsBT, and that's Streets with an S, StreetsBT. I'm gonna have a website built. Should be here by like mid-July at the latest.
Excellent.
So I'm working on it. I just had a photo shoot done like yesterday morning.
Really? What was that like for you?
Oh yeah, that was pretty cool, man. Me and Kip, man, we got in there, man. We had some fun, man. It was a nice experience, man. You know, had a couple photos. You know, had some shots with some money up in there and everything.
Uh-huh.
It was fun though. The picture. I get the pictures tomorrow.
Excellent.
So I'll get those. Yeah.
So you're on Twitter. Are you on Facebook? Are you on Facebook at all?
Oh, yeah. Every Facebook, too. I'm on Facebook. That's StreetsBT, same thing.
Uh-huh.
My Instagram is StreetMoneyBT.
Got an Instagram, too.
My Instagram is fairly new. My Twitter is fairly new, too, as well. Like, I just had Facebook for a minute. But my Facebook music, like everything, this music, like all the music thing is fairly new for me, because it's like not as far as doing music, but all my music stuff as far as releasing it. Because I'm talking like before 2012, like I wasn't doing music. I mean, before 2013, like, you know, I wasn't on the music. Like, I just got back on it. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I'm jumping back in there now.
Well, I mean, from what I've heard, it sounds like you're doing a great job, man. It really is. I'm really impressed.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, I think it's quality work, you know.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. And we all need to stay in touch, man. And, man, so what do you think? I mean, the internet and all this digital stuff we have available and the social media currently, I mean, it's like an invaluable tool, I think, for spreading the word and getting your work out there and getting recognized. You know, do you find it to be very, you know, for you, do you feel that way? I mean, how do you feel about it?
Definitely, you know, it can be beneficial if you know how to work it. That's the main thing, is knowing how to work it. You know what I'm saying?
Because
it's like, nowadays, you know, it's real beneficial, because you can thrive as an independent artist if you get your fan base right and you got it. You don't need a label. You know what I'm saying? Like, 'cause you can sell out shows as an independent artist and you're good to go. It's like it's just putting you in a better position to get the exposure out there that you wasn't able to get before. Like, go back 10 years in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
A lot of things was impossible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. I'm an old man. Believe me, I'm really old, and I'm still trying to keep up with all the social media and everything. But I find it fascinating, and I look back to writers, artists, creators, musicians, whatever, 10, 15, 20 years ago, or even beyond that, and I think, man, what could they have done independently with all this technology we have available to us now. I find that very fascinating too. It's crazy. All right. So any last thoughts or anything else you would want to talk about, or do you want to hang out, or do you need to crash? We're going to go on.
No, I really would love to hang out, man. But me and my friends, man, we're about to head over to the casino.
There you go. There you go. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, yeah. You go to the casino, you get the free drinks and everything. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun, man. Hey, it's been excellent having you on here, and we all need to stay in contact, man, and I'm going to keep supporting you, because I'm a fan. I mean, I'm a Street Money Road to Riches. It's good. It's really good. And it takes me back
to the casino money tonight. over your
family. Oh, yeah. Casino Money. That might be the next project, Casino Money instead.
That's great. Thanks so much, man. Thanks so much for being on.
Right,
and it's
yeah,
been fun.
Man, anytime y'all want me on, man, hit me up.
All right.
Yeah, good luck tonight at the casino.
Take it easy, man,
and thank you again.
Y'all too. And when when I drop my video, I'll let you know, man. Y'all can have me back on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
We're
sure. Fine.
All right. Good night.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take another quick break here with a little bit of Puff the Magic Dragon.
Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sails. Jackie kept a lookout perched on Puff's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whenever they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Puff roared out his name. The Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Up the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. A dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant's rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more. And Puff that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain.
Has 20 to 30,000. Who cares? It's such an awe-inspiring song, and it gets me puffy every time I hear it. Puffy, do dragons really live forever?
I don't need to hear that business, but I think we should have a contest on writing a new verse for that song.
We should make our own mixtape using nothing but Puff the Magic Dragon lyrics.
There you go.
And try to rearrange them. But this has been a great show so far, the first half here with Street Money, Street Money Road to Riches. It was a lot of fun. But now here we are. We're in the second hour. We are in the second hour where things get, yeah.
You know, we should have started the show off with a moment of silence. I don't know if you heard. Richard Ramirez died today. The famed Night Stalker.
Yeah, I saw the headline, but I didn't read it.
The famed Night Stalker. You never heard of the Night Stalker? Well, Quentin knows.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't remember that guy, Brian? That guy, when he was
he's
in court,
the one that,
he threw
didn't
a
he say that what, Black Sabbath or something was the one who made him kill?
I think it was AC/DC's Night Stalker. Yeah, I think it was AC/DC.
Yeah, and then Tipper Gore got all freaked out. Oh, my God, we have to put Brian lyrics up.
Yep.
Brian lyrics on everything.
Yep. Yeah, that's when they launched that assault on music. Yeah, the PMRC, the Gores, and oh, yeah, it was a mess. But you don't remember him, Brian? He drew a pentagram on his hand in court and yelled, "Hail Satan," and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know.
Wow.
I do that pretty much every day. Well, you know, the recent – oh, come on now. Listen, the recent expiration or death of a celebrity was Edith Bunker.
Yeah, well.
That devastated me, yeah, from All in the Family.
Her name was Jean Stapleton, I believe.
Yeah, that chick.
Yeah.
Ah, Jean, you know. Yeah, yeah, that annoying, yeah. That's why, you know, that nothing else, I mean, I've been devastated about, you know, that. kind of hard for me to get past it. But,
what was that? Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you what was the thing you were talking about, the radio people that killed themselves?
Yeah, there was. I saw some shit on the net this morning that there's these two radio hosts that hosted some show, The Pursuit of Happiness or some crap, and they helped people with this crisis radio show while they committed to double suicide. Like put bags on their head with tubes and inhaled some helium or something and killed them.
Wow.
And they have like this self-help.
Sure?
Huh?
Are we sure this wasn't an accident? Because,
The guy wrote a note and said that he couldn't stand to, his wife couldn't stand to be in any more pain. So the suicide note kind of gave it away that they were kooky.
Wow. You know,
okay.
I mean,
yeah. You guys
Lord,
will let
you
know. Me know if you're in a crisis, right?
I mean, shit, I put bags on my head, too, just, you know, and you
yeah,
know.
But,
and,
okay,
and,
but
if there's
tube,
never a
you
problem. Huh?
You don't, helium doesn't get sent through the tube to you, Brian.
The tube. I'm not even going to tell you where the tube gets inserted.
Yeah. I don't know. Brian, if Brian kills himself, I think it'll be like a Carradine kind of thing.
Oh,
find him hanging,
absolutely.
Hanging
no, auto-erotic
asphyxiation.
It'll be an accident. And, it, you know, I should just
yeah.
put a suicide note, like, next to me every time I engage in the auto-erotic asphyxiation, just in case. Yeah, I can't live anymore. Whoops, I accidentally killed myself while masturbating. In fucking poem. But anyhow.
I'm still pissed off I can't perform oral sex without getting throat cancer.
Oh,
so
God, we're going there.
Okay.
Michael Douglas,
okay.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah, this is a very serious issue. Very serious. I mean, okay, Michael Douglas. Claiming
yes.
he has throat cancer because, you know, he ate some rancid pussy or whatever you want to call it. You know, it wasn't from, like, smoking and drinking and doing all kinds of drugs and shit or anything or whatever. I mean, how can he prove it was from, you know, eating pussy?
Well, the Huffington Post kind of blew it out of proportion, and they've since been slammed for it. You know, they kind of picked and choosed his words. But in a conversation, he did say that, you know, his cancer was from the HPV virus.
And can he prove that? Did he have, like, a doctor's, like, note saying, oh, yeah,
you know,
your cancer
know,
from HPV, man.
According to the National Cancer Institute, I guess 60% of all cases of throat cancer are actually caused from HPV. And, or 60 to 70, they say.
And male or females or both?
Of the the last actual data they have on file is 2009. Of the 13,000 people who got throat cancer from HPV in 2009,
mm-hmm.
10,000 of them were males. So they didn't specify whether they got it from a female or they got it from a male. They just said, you know.
Okay, so then there should be quite a few lesbians out there, too, who have
well, that would be my argument.
I'm sorry, what? What was that, Quinn?
I said that would be my argument, and also I would like to point out, gentlemen, the CDC says that gay and bisexual men are about 17 times more likely to develop anal cancer than men who only have sex with women.
You really
you
went
know.
There. Anal cancer, huh?
Hey, it's a good thing we stopped having sex, Fouché.
Yeah.
I have this strange itch and stuff in my rectal area.
Here's something else that I'm looking at.
Uh-huh.
And that may have been...
Well, I mean,
hold on. I'm pulling it up.
Yeah.
I mean,
you gotta pull it up quicker than that. That's what she said. Come on. And then she got throat cancer.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, that was bad. Sorry. All right.
Quinn's launching an assault on the gay population over there.
No, gentlemen. Okay, CDC, look at it right here. HPV in men, the fact sheet.
Okay.
Let's see, health problems.
Come on, Quinn.
Yeah, well, I know. I know from the times I've been to the meat wagon, as I like to call it, or Planned Parenthood, that there's a problem, you know, with HPV. It's a big problem. In men and women, but
right.
I think with women, because it can cause cervical cancer, there's
mm-hmm.
a big
yeah, I've
concern
already had it.
With them. So.
Yeah, I had it already when I was in my 20s.
Right.
What,
you, so,
had,
you, know,
you had what
concern,
in your 20s?
They want.
I had HPV-related cancer.
Really?
But, well, guys
wow.
can get it just
yeah.
as women can, but I think the reason they always focus on the women is because of the cervical cancer. They don't want women to die like Gilda Radner, you know?
Exactly. No, I think Gilda's was ovarian. Gilda's wasn't cervix.
Oh, was it? Was it
yeah.
caused from HPV, though? Wasn't it?
No. Ovarian cancer, that's a different quiver
no,
altogether.
No. Oh.
But anyway, it says here about 1% of sexually active men in the U.S. have, okay, that's genital warts, that's HPV, but that's something different.
1%?
Yes. That's not even yeah. whatever.
Pussy to get
No. 1% of the active men. Hey. Have genital warts at any one time.
That's Catherine Zeta-Jones has a dirty pussy, huh?
Okay.
Obviously. You know what? He could have been eating some other like rancid twat. I mean, come on.
He was more likely eating rancid dick is what he was eating if he got it.
Oh,
anyway,
boo. You're calling Michael Douglas? Okay. Are you coming out and calling Michael Douglas a homosexual?
What I am saying is that men are, whatever the fact I just read you, but I was trying to finish the rest of this business.
Yeah, 1% of men, yeah.
Yeah.
In the U.S., have it at any one time.
Have what?
That's something different. Have genital warts. But here's the next
1% of it.
At any one.
Yeah, but the genital warts are caused from human papillomavirus, aren't they?
Yeah, there's like 40 different strains of the virus.
Right, if you get a wart on your foot, that's actually caused from HPV too.
Yes, it is. It sure is.
Oh my God. I had a plantar wart on my foot back in the early 90s.
Well,
I had to have that shit like frozen off by the doctor.
Yeah.
I must have jammed my foot down some rancid pussy.
gentlemen, okay. Guys. Cancers of the penis, anus, and oral pharynx are uncommon, and only a subset of these cancers are actually related to HPV. Each year in the U.S., there are about 400 men who get HPV-related cancer of the penis, 1,500 men who get HPV-related cancer of the anus, and 5,600 men who get cancers of the oral pharynx, back of throat, but many of these cancers are related to tobacco and alcohol use, not HPV.
I don't know what site you're on, but according to the National Cancer Institute, it was higher than that.
CDC. I am looking at the CDC right now.
I'm just starting at the National Cancer Institute. We can find and pick and choose sources all we want.
Anyway, also, gay and bisexual men are about 17 times.
There you go, attacking the gay community again. What did the gay community ever do to you, Queen?
It is not. It's the whole, women are getting it from men because they ain't getting it from women as much.
Wow. Okay, maybe we should just have like a therapy session here and all confess what kind of STDs we have all had. No, I'm willing to do it.
I'm just looking at it this way. There's a bunch of dirty crotches out there. Men, women, you. It's all the way around.
Everybody has had HPV at some point in their life.
Nope.
Every single person.
Maybe in Gary, Indiana.
Maybe it's an Indiana phenomenon, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Indiana is a dirty-ass state anyhow.
How did you go from 1% of men to everybody has had it? The almighty queen has spoken.
Oh, my God.
Did I use it? The CDC? What are you using now? Saturday Night Live website?
Yeah, Saturday Night Live, jackass.
Jimmy Fallon, what?
Are we done?
Oh, The Daily Show. She gets her news from The Daily Show. There you go.
Yeah.
I don't watch that shit.
That's what John's doing. Stephen Colbert.
Oh, Lord. All right. I mean, God.
So, Quinn,
damn, you know
I want to – I got a question for you, Quinn. I want to hear more about your exploits this week. This is your Monday adventure.
Oh, okay. Well?
Your special report.
That says it all. Wow, okay.
Okay.
You didn't get HPV, did you?
No.
Okay. You didn't drop it.
That's
go ahead.
Kind of
no, she's got a little bit of the clap. Okay, go ahead.
No. Well,
looks like an
Arby's
roast beef sandwich.
God.
So,
see, now you've
so
ruined Arby's for me for life.
As long as it doesn't look like an Arby's roast beef sandwich with horsey sauce on it.
Oh, gross. That time of the month.
go ahead, quick. Tell everybody about what your week was.
Let me preface this by saying Ryan has seen me inebriated.
Clearly.
I've seen you naked.
Inebriated. Meaning that's a fancy word for drunk.
Sorry, you kind of trailed off on my phone, Alice.
Sorry. Okay, so Brian, aside from the fact that, you know, I was in various states of laughter the whole time, would you say I'm a sloppy drunk, or would you say I can kind of hold it together?
Oh, you told me about the sloppiness.
You get sloppy. Okay, Dr. Quinn. Dr. Quinn. Yeah.
Yes.
You get really drunk, you get a little sloppy.
Brian
urinates.
one of those times that I did not think I was sloppy.
Okay.
And I started Sunday, went to my bestie's son's high school graduation. It was a dry party. Machete-wielding Tanya and I decided, hey, we're going to go out for drinks afterwards. So we get done at the party. We go, and we have some really good Bloody Marys. There might have been a beer I think I drank at the bar. All right, but anyway, so then we ended up at another bar. A few more drinks were consumed. I thought I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but machete-wielding Tanya obviously was not fine. She was shit show drunk as always. And so it was my job to get her home. Huh? Tanya, oh, yeah.
That's my kind of woman.
Oh, no. Anyway, so we had gotten her car back to her house. We'd gone to McDonald's. It was 3 in the morning. I drop her off. I'm in a good mood, you know, feeling good, not loaded. I'm going to go for a drive. So that was, you know, mistake number one, instead of going just straight home. Or, as Tanya likes to point out, that she had asked, she said, you can crash here if you want. I'm like, no, I'm fine. So, okay, I'm going along the main thoroughfare. And the second mistake is I've had a headlight burned out on my car. Well, sometimes the fuse, you know, sometimes the light's on, sometimes it's not. But, again, I'm in a good mood. I'm driving along, you know, not doing anything, not speeding. And all of a sudden, I see the lollipops in the back window.
Oh, no.
Yep. So I pull on over. And the officer asks me, did you know that your headlight's out? Yeah, I have this bad wire. You know, it sometimes goes on, it sometimes not. And then he asks me, where are you coming from? And I am a terrible liar in person. So I told him where I was coming from, which is the bar named Lucille's.
Oh,
and he's like,
Mistake number one.
That was the third mistake.
Maybe if you would have followed it with, you know, I am coming from the bar Lucille's, would you like a hand job? That might have been.
Or flash your boobies. But,
So then, also made worse. Remember the bottle of margarita mix and tequila I had in Cleveland? That is so funny.
Seriously, asking me to remember what you.
That's how you got that anal cancer, Brian.
Yeah.
So anyhow, what about
the bottle? It is still sitting in the floorboard, the passenger side floorboard of my car, unopened. It is unopened.
Jesus, one headlight. You have a headlight out. You're intoxicated. You have like a container in your car. Jesus Christ, what are you thinking, Dr. Quinn?
Yeah.
That's like a recipe for disaster.
So
a hand job probably wouldn't have been enough.
No.
Yeah.
Not.
So then he's like, well, okay, I'm going to have to ask you to step out of the car.
Okay.
So I get out of the car. And I'm still thinking that, you know, I am resolutely okay. I'm going to get through these tests and everything. So, of course, they give you the eye test, which I passed fine. And then that whole bullshit about 9 steps forward, 9 steps back, you know, with your heel to toe. You can't do that shit sober.
Right.
Well, I thought I did okay.
Okay. Were you wearing
then,
heels?
You know, they asked,
what kind
no,
of shoes were
no,
you wearing? And that makes a difference, huh?
I was wearing flats.
Flats? Okay.
I was wearing flats. So
okay.
I thought I got through it. Then, you know, they sit there and, you know, there were 3 of them. There were 2 squads and, you know, 3 officers. And, you know, they convene in their little corner, and then they're like, okay, well, we're going to have to ask you to take a breathalyzer.
Oh,
and I'm thinking at this point, oh, God. But I can't refuse because if I refuse, I'm automatically going to get suspended.
Exactly, yeah. It's a no-win situation.
So, at this point, I got to swing for the fences, so they breathalyzed me. And I blew a .12.
Oh,
that's nothing.
So, wait, it gets better, but it was .12, so they still said, you know, they're talking to me. It's like, well, listen, we're going to have to take you to the station.
Oh, God.
And we're going to have to give you an official breathalyzer.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, you know, in my shock, because at this point, I don't know what the fuck to think. I'm sitting there, okay, they're, you know, .12, okay, and they say, you know, we're going to have to get your car towed, and it's still not dawning on me. At the point that it dawned on me is when they're putting the handcuffs on me. They fucking handcuffed me.
They cuffed you. They actually cuffed
you. That was your last year.
They cuffed me.
That's what you should have pleaded. I don't have a gag reflex. Please, guys, something.
And then you should have started pounding your head on the window.
As they're putting the cuffs on, I really asked them, I said, really?
Now, Quinn, what is the limit there? Is it 0.8 or 0.08?
It's 0.08. It's 0.08.
Yeah,
so
0.08.
We're not in the story. So I'm sitting there, and we're driving along. And from where I was, I should mention, I was in Gary at that point.
Gary, Indiana.
Which I should also point out, was probably also didn't work in my favor because a white girl at 3:30 in the morning driving in Gary where I was, they're probably like, okay, she's going to get some crack or something, which I would not.
Yeah, Gary, Indiana.
Well, you have that look, you know, Quinn, you have that look.
I know. But anyway, so I'm sitting here in the back of the car, and it's from where I was to County is about 25 minutes, and, you know, they're not speeding. So we're sitting there, and I'm kind of talking, and, you know, okay, so what should I expect? You know, what's going to happen now? And, you know, just kind of asking about the process. And, you know, they ask me what I do, and I tell them I'm a reporter with the Post-Tribune, and then they tell me, well, you know, if somebody comes to get the release, and I'm like, yeah, I know. So this could have been publicized in the competitions paper, if not our own. But, you know, we're so small right now.
I just finished emailing the competition, actually.
Thank you.
Yes.
So anyway, we're pulling up at County, and at that point, well, I should point out that the cops did say I was probably one of the most cooperative people they'd ever had. But, you know, it's like, I am not going to argue with the cops.
Right.
Just know better. So, but we're pulling up to the station, and I said to them, you know, guys, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. And at that point, I fucking burst into tears, which is very, very much unlike me. And I am, you know, like, sobbing like, Jesus Christ, this is really happening.
A
lot of times, I've known a lot of drunk women that cry irrationally like that, but go ahead.
No, I don't cry unless, you know, you've got a gun to my head, if I can help it. But I was just, oh, my God, because I'm sitting there thinking, Jesus Christ, the money that, I don't even know what it's going to cost. I think at one point I heard them say that it was going to be $1,000 to bond out.
Holy shit. Okay, so how'd you get out of there? I mean, what?
Well, we're not done, folks. So they take me in, and, you know, I'm like, can I use my Kleenex? Or whatever, and they gave me a paper towel. I'm trying to wipe my face up and the whole bit. And they take me, take my jacket, take my scarf, take my belt, take my shoes.
You would hang yourself in the cell, huh?
Yeah.
That's a dangerous drunk bitch from Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
We gotta confiscate her shoelaces and her belt.
We gotta take everything. You know, thankfully I wasn't wearing any jewelry, so they take everything.
I'm sorry.
And then we go into the breathalyzer room. We go into the breathalyzer room, and we're all kind of just sitting there for a while.
Uh-huh.
And I found out later why that was, but anyway, I breathalyze. Are you guys ready for this shit?
Oh, God,
.08. I breathalyzed officially.
Okay.
So
you have the legal limit.
I'm thinking that, okay, maybe that means they're not going to do, you know, maybe they'll just let me sleep it off.
No.
And okay, yeah.
Nope.
Nope.
They're going to put you in a cell with a woman who's going to try to ride your face to Chicago.
And give you HPV.
I'm going to teach you all a special little secret. I'll get to that. So if you tell the intake person that you have a skin condition, they will put you in your own cell.
What?
Because they don't want you.
Wait a second.
They don't want
you
in the population.
Some of us don't get arrested, Queen.
Well, I'm just saying, if you ever get arrested and you want to have your own cell,
say you have
and you don't
want to
be
that
fine,
know what?
I didn't know. Let's just leave it as I took a gamble and anyway, so they put me, they give me standard issue flip flops and a special gold price.
This keeps getting better. You gotta be shitting me.
Oh, I'm not. So they give me this and they put me in my own cell.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, and at this point, too, I've got to go to the bathroom. So it's like, well, you know, you can go in your cell. And the cell is painted sort of, it's not a stark white, like an eggshell color. Not very inviting. And the benches are cement blocks, painted cement blocks. Thankfully, I didn't get a mat because, you know, I wasn't staying. But, you know, it was me and my scratchy wool blanket, concrete blocks, sitting here watching, you know, the general population.
The general population of what?
There were men, there were women, and they were all in the holding area. And I'm sitting
the holding
here watching
area,
this.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there were men, too?
What kind of
place is that? There were men, too?
It was separated, obviously, but this is the way the Lake County Jail is set up. They've got, you know, the men's floor, you know, a couple of men's floors, the women's floor, but the holding area.
Are you trying to say that men are more likely to be criminals than women? What do you mean, a couple men's
floors? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that how it's set up.
So you're watching the general population. You probably don't have a toilet seat on your eggshell toilet.
Oh, no, it's a metal toilet, and I was afraid to sit on it because it was gross.
Oh, they didn't have ass gaskets or whatever to put down?
No, there was no, you know, I was lucky to have toilet paper. So I'm just sitting there like, oh, my God. But again, I'm thinking, you know, maybe this isn't the eternal optimist. Maybe this isn't as bad as it sounds.
But at that point, you're not an optimist. You're in denial.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So I cry a little while longer, and then I finally pass out. And here's the worst thing: if you've never been in jail. The worst thing for me, there are no clocks.
No
so,
clock?
And I, you know, a clock.
Okay.
There's no clock there.
Why is that the
so,
worst thing, being in jail? There's no clocks. Jesus Christ, I'm going to have a panic attack. Or there's no clocks. I'm looking around.
No,
because you don't know what time it is, it's very disorienting. So I finally passed out.
It sounds to me like you were way disoriented and you blew.
No,
you blew something. Like, illegal.
I wish I had blown something. Maybe I'd have gotten out of the, you know, the shit that I was in. So
did you?
Anyway, so I cry, I fall asleep for a little bit. They tell me that I'm supposed to, you know, that I'd be out like at noon or one. I fall
uh-huh.
asleep, I wake up, and I'm, you know, kind of looking around and stuff, and I notice in the command center there's like windows way up top, so I can see that it's light out. Okay, at least I know it's light out now. But I still don't know what time it is. I sit there and I wait for a little while longer. They call me out. I go down to the guy and who hands me a list of the stuff that was in my purse. You know, is this everything? And I won't tell you guys that part about what was actually in my purse that
No. You've gone way too far to not deny.
In my purse. I just said what it was. There was lube in my purse, and I can't remember if it was on
lubricant.
The list or not. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Okay, well, you lubricated your purse. What kind of lubricant?
They know what you were doing in Gary, Indiana, at 2
o'clock. I was not doing it there. Anyway, but I found that funny because I was like, oh, shit, I forgot I had that in there. Okay. So anyway.
Well, what time is it at this time? Did you get to see what
I don't
time
know.
It was?
I do not know at this point what time it was. So I'm talking to the guy, and he starts handing me the paperwork, and he tells me, oh, yes, it's going to be $1,000 to bond out. And, again, it was that moment, really? This shit really happened. Oh, no, wait. It's $1,000 plus a $95 transaction fee. If I put it on my credit card or my debit card, if I can get someone to come up there with $1,000, it'll just be $1,000. I'm thinking none of my asshole friends have $1,000 to give me right now, so I gotta pray I can bond out. I'm like, okay. But first we're going to take you back. You've got to wait back up in your cell because the guy has to come back who's going to take your mug and fingerprint you.
They haven't done that yet?
No, they didn't do that. So I go back up there and wait for some indeterminate amount of time, and they call me back down, and I now have...
Well, you told me you had a skin condition.
Huh?
Well, you told me you had a skin condition, right?
Skin condition,
well,
yeah. Somehow
yeah, was...
you had, like, some sort of, like, cool flip-flops, and you got your own cell.
So, come on. So if I'm the fingerprinter and the mugshot guy, I'm thinking skin condition and lubricant in the purse.
Yeah.
I'm staying away.
The lubricant.
Wait a second.
Okay.
As far as I know, the guy, these were two different guys, and I'm hoping they hadn't had a chance to discuss me yet. So anyway, the guy.
Two different guys.
I have a mugshot.
Yeah.
I have a mugshot and full handprint fingerprints.
Yeah, they do. They do the whole
thing. The side of my hand, the front of my hand, the bottom of my palm.
They do everything.
They roll
your whole finger.
Yes. Yes, they do. And I just looked at the guy and I'm like, you know, I'd be fascinated by this if I wasn't so horrified. I mean, I was just...
Yeah,
I was.
Sure.
Oh, my God. So finally, you know, the ordeal is over. They give me my stuff, and they're like, okay, you can, you know, change or get dressed. Because, no, I was not in... They did not give me a prison uniform, thank God. I think I would have really freaked out.
They gave you flip-flops in your own cell.
Yeah, they gave me flip-flops.
I find that mind-boggling.
Well,
since
she's
feet
on the floor, you know.
I mean, what kind of condition did you tell them you had? I mean, what did you say? I have HPV or?
No, not HPV. The other whole condition that, you know.
Psoriasis? I mean.
Well, okay, psoriasis.
Itchy scalp.
psoriasis. That's it.
No college bias. There we go. So anyway.
Yeah, so anyway.
Okay, I get to go and put my jacket and, you know, get myself together and stuff. They send me into the women's shower, and let me tell you.
In the shower? They made you shower? What do you mean? They sent you to the women's shower.
They didn't make me shower, but there was no other place for me. You know, they weren't going to put me in, like, you know, the women's employees bathroom to, you know, put my shoes on.
Why did they? You were in. I mean, why did they require you to shower?
Brian, they didn't request for me to shower.
Okay.
They just put me there so I can change and put, you know, my jacket and my scarf back on and make myself presentable. But as I'm doing this, some girl that had been yelling from the time that they brought her in.
Alright, is this where somebody rides your face in Chicago?
No, but let me tell you, I got out of there quick because I was afraid. I mean, she comes in and she just drops the towel right in front of me. You know, to use the bathroom. It's like, okay, I've had enough of this place. I'm really good for this.
You know what?
So,
goddamn. Dr.
Was she
Quinn,
a family chick, or was she just this little petite thing, or what? I mean,
no, she was taller. She was definitely taller than me, and she was younger than me, so she'd probably been able to kick my ass.
Oh my God,
and she
Dr.
Was yelling,
Quinn!
I think they probably pulled her in for fighting or something. I don't know, but anyway, so I get out. And I'm trying to think, okay, who the fuck is going to pick me up? But I should also point out, though, that my choices were I could have waited to see the judge and, you know, not
yeah,
have paid my fines. But the judge, well, you know, when I'd be able to see him, well, maybe today, possibly tomorrow. Well, nobody knows where the fuck I am. So it's like, that's out of the question. And I got to
You didn't get your phone call?
No, well, they gave me the little card with the phone call stuff.
You know who you should have
and
called?
That was
Wait a second. Let me interject here. You know who you should have called?
Who should I call?
Tim Murray.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You should have called Tim Murray. Like, yeah, I'm all fucked up. I'm in jail. I got flip-flops on and shit. I done been raped in the shower.
I would have hung up on my dumbass. I'd have done that.
I got to tell you, Quinn, I'm surprised. You know, I would have been fucked because I don't know any phone numbers. My cell phone is like my brain, okay? I would have been fucked. So you're resourceful.
Yeah. It is resourceful.
So
you know, we all have the phone numbers like programmed in our goddamn cell phones and shit, and we don't memorize them anymore.
I mean, she's resourceful. I mean, she's, you know, knows phone numbers, carries lubricant in her purse.
That is resourceful.
Lubricant for my
and gets her own cell and knows about skin diseases.
So the first person I call. Well, actually, I text. I text a couple of my girlfriends. The first person I actually spoke to was my editor.
Your
editor? And she sent her boyfriend to come to me. I had to tell her because...
You've got to be shitting me, okay. That's great.
No,
okay.
I called my boss because if I had any assignments, she needed to, you know... I didn't think I had anything at that point, but, you know, to also let her know that, well, okay, I'm without a car for right now. So, but I mean, you know, she was very cool. She sent her boyfriend to come get me. And so then, let's see, I texted.
With your lubricant in your purse and your flip-flops, your sexy jailhouse
flip-flops. The flip-flops have been gone. Jail flip-flops are now gone.
You should have said, I mean, that's like a collector's item. If you had these flip-flops and put them on eBay, man, you'd have tons of ass wipes, like, bidding for that. Jailhouse flip-flops,
God.
Wow, hot.
Oh,
The flip flops are
gone
so
fast. We could probably auction off the lubricants, man.
At this point, yeah. You know, listen, you know how many chapbooks we could finance by, you know, auctioning off your lubricant?
we'll start a lubricant Kickstarter.
Yeah, There we go.
Donate the most.
Oh, yeah.
So go ahead, Quinn. Sorry.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
yeah. Your editor's boyfriend picked you up.
So, well, no, he's going to be gone for a little bit. I should also, at this point, my phone has got, like, I don't know, maybe 5% juice in it left. So, another girl that I had texted to see if she could come get me, you know, she's asking questions. And then my best friend calls me, what the hell is going on? And I'm like, dude, not your problem. Because her rule is, her brother had died drunk driving, and her rule is, you can call me for stealing, you can call me for a million things, and I will come bail your ass out. If you have been drunk driving, do not call me. So
wow.
I didn't.
Ouch.
No,
okay,
no,
harsh.
That's fine. So I didn't call her, but, you know, she was just like, oh, I thought that you weren't going to call, or you didn't call me because I was going to Chicago. I'm like, no, I know what the rule is.
Wow.
You know, so then... Yeah. I texted the 28-year-old just for snicks and giggles because
oh, God. He comes back into the equation, huh?
Okay. Wait a minute. I have to say it. I was actually telling Mike about this the other night. Of all the people that I had talked to, he was probably the coolest person because he was like, you know, when he was younger. No, when he was...
Oh, did you...
Yeah.
But now that I know what I know, I mean, did you tell him the whole story, and did you mention the lubricant, and he was really
cool? Yeah, the
cool
lubricant and the flip-flops. I mean, I can't get over that. I'm going to have masturbatory fantasies.
Okay.
And the shower. Don't forget the shower, Brian.
Oh, the shower scene. Yes.
This sounds like a
movie in the making here.
So he was really cool.
No.
That's good. That's awesome.
Because I just thought it would be funny because back when he was, you know, a fetus, I figured that he would find it funny, and at that point I'm like, okay, I need to start trying to make myself laugh about this because now that I have just used my rent money and my utility money to bond my dumb ass out, if I don't find a friend who can loan me $1,200, because after I've paid my bond, I have to go to the Bureau of Identification and pay $75 for the county release to go get my car. That's that. And I also have to bring two fucking drivers to come, you know, with my release and everything. Then I have to go to the place where they impounded the car. The toll was $185. And if you don't get it on, like, Monday, okay, if you get it Monday, it'll be $185. But after that, it's $40 day storage. So that's $225. Yes. So I have to get if none of my friends can loan my dumb ass $1,200, I have now got to go to my mother, ask her to help me.
God.
Yes.
Oh boy. How do you explain all this to your mom? Does your mom know that you were in jail?
No, not until Monday afternoon. She did not. So anyway.
Okay.
But
did she know you had a drinking problem?
Does she know you have lubricant in your purse?
She does now.
Does she listen to this show? I hope so. Is she hot?
No.
Okay. No, she's not hot. Wow.
Okay.
So.
Anyway, at this point, I kind of need someone to commiserate with, so I text Flip. And I'm like, you know, guess who just spent the night in county after blowing a 0.12 and, you know, in the field and an 08 officially. And he's like, question mark. And I'm like, this broad. And he had this shit down. He's like, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to call this person. You're going to get my attorney. My attorney is the best there is. And this is what's going to happen. And he went through the whole thing, and it was, like, just very oddly reassuring.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And oddly reassuring, huh?
That's good reading material right there.
Yeah, I like that.
No, it was just very cool because I was so freaked out, and it was like, you know, he's telling me all this stuff, and I'm like, okay, I can do that. And he's like, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and this is what's going to happen. So anyway, my phone dies after a while, so I have to ask a random stranger if I can plug my phone into her car so I can charge my phone to make sure my editor's boyfriend knows how to get to me. So, yeah, there was that. And I get home. I talk to my neighbor. She doesn't have it because, you know, usually she and I, we're kind of like the banks for each other. And then I have to call Mother. And
you sound like Norman Bates when you say that.
My mother, yeah.
Mother.
If you ever have the opportunity to meet my mother, you will understand why. She's this 78-year-old little 95-pound woman who has this propensity to nag a lot.
Propensity.
Oh, she nags on you? Does she tell you how to live your life?
Yeah.
Well,
basically.
Maybe if you'd listen to her, you wouldn't have a DUI.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no,
I get lectures
on my drinking all the time from her. But anyway, so I have to explain this, and, you know, she goes through the yelling and the lecturing, but, you know, fine, I'll help you, because next paycheck, you know, because I now make slightly more money because we have no photographers. You know, it's like, Ma, I'll be able to pay you back, like, quickly. So, fine, we'll worry about that stuff tomorrow morning. And then, you know, it was just kind of after that trying to make an appointment with the attorney and so on and so forth. And but Slip was right about the attorney. I met with him on Thursday. And I walk into this place, and, you know, it's got the marble and the, you know, just like you would think any attorney's office would look like it.
No, I don't think of attorneys having marbles in their office.
Not marbles in their office, marble floors and the bullshit, you know.
I know that attorneys don't have lubricant when they bend you over.
You don't know that. You don't know what he's got in his briefcase.
Do you, Dr. Quinn? Go ahead.
I'm glad I didn't have to find out. But anyway, so I walk in, and the guy says to me, "So I see here that you have a speeding ticket and a driving while suspended." And I look at him, and I'm like, "Yeah,
you are
the driving while suspended." No, the driving while suspended, that was bullshit because I just didn't turn in a form on time. And they fucked me with that.
It's suspended.
Okay.
You know what?
You know what, Dr. Quinn? You put Lindsay Lohan and all these other, like, little swatty hot bitches.
Oh, yeah.
Little bitches. You put them to shame. So, you are hardcore motherfucker. And you know what?
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I am, like, in total, like, admiration and awe of you and your hardcore outlawness. You are the epitome of an outlaw, small press poet.
The attorney, after he brings up, you know, my driving record to him, I kind of look at him, yeah, and he says, well, we're going to get those taken off, too. Okay. Alrighty then. So he sat down and he said that, you know, he'll charge me $1,000, which $500 would be taken from but $500 of which will come out of my bond. So I've, you know, technically already paid that. The other part, he's like, you know, I'm like, do I have to go to classes? And he says, yeah, you're going to go to classes, but you're not going through county. You're going to go through my place to get them, you know, we'll fast track you through that. Everything will be fine. It should be dismissed, and it should be done by the end of the month.
I like the word should.
Well, he was very confident. He's like, this is your first time. You know, .08, that was nothing. And I kind of wonder, too, though, because at 0.12 to 0.08, that seems an awfully big drop. Because I even asked them, I said, is it going to be that much different if I, you know, when we get to county? And he said, it'll be within a, you know, a reasonable amount. That sounds like an awfully big drop. I suspect those cops did me a solid.
Huh? One of the solids? Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, they knew you had lubricant, so they slipped you a solid.
They didn't know that I had the lubricant until they just stopped.
So you really need lubricant,
everything's
huh?
Everything is going to be peachy, this lawyer thinks that.
Yes, so everything should be fine. But, you know, in the next, I don't know how many, next week or so, because, the next day, when I went to go get my, because the bitch in Bureau of Identification was all, you need to get a state ID and, you know, bring it back. And I'm like, lady, we mail our IDs now. I'm going to be without a car for 2 weeks. Is that what you're telling me? Oh, no, you can use the paper copy. I'm like, okay. So, but I go to the Bureau, DMV, and, like, I'm going to need a state ID. And she's like, you mean a driver's license? I was like, well, I don't have my driver's license right now. She's like, yeah, but it's still active. I'm like, really?
Yeah, it's normally still active until you go to court.
I wish it would. No, they're going to suspend me before I go to court. That's what I've been told. The attorney thinks that he's like, you let me know when you get the paperwork.
When I got my DUI, everything was effective when I went to court. I got suspended when I went to court. So I don't know how that state works, but my state.
See, I wish. So... anyway, I could probably expect my license to be suspended, and I'll be riding dirty until my court date.
Riding dirty, so. Huh? That, you know what,
riding dirty.
Dr. Quinn, that doesn't surprise me, and given all this, oh, my God. I mean, this is just awful, goddamn dirty, like,
yeah.
You know,
it is
talk
never,
all about
it
you.
Is
you know what, and with
over.
That, we're going to take a quick break. You know what, in honor of Dr. Quinn and her prison experience with her flip-flops and you know, lubricant and everything else. We're going to a little bit of prison blues here real quick, and then we'll be right back.
No more, my love. No more, my love. Lord, I'll never turn back no more. I found Daniel may rest and play, and he have me. No more, my love. No more, my love. Lord, I'll never turn back. No more, Jesus, say amen.
Prison Blues from the prison down in Louisiana. It's an old song. That's an old song. And in honor of our, you know, our Dr. Quinn, who obviously is some sort of fucking, you know, outlaw. And, yeah, you know,
yeah.
Have lubricant and flip-flops and and she just blows. Just blows a little more than the police even, like, you know, like. So, wow.
So let that be a lesson to anybody out there.
There we go. Let's make this positive.
Listening.
Yes, let's spin this.
Yeah.
Definitely. Let's spin this
do
into something
not,
positive.
Do not, don't. If you've had anything to drink, don't get behind the wheel because it can and will happen.
The message I'm getting is if you can pay a lawyer, you'll get off scot-free.
Well, there is that, so. Yeah, and then you will never do it again because this shit sucks. I mean, I could have, you sit there and think, I could have taken a trip with that kind of money. I could have put a down payment on a new car. And now I'm going to be.
New car, huh?
But I have
so a new car so you could just, like, drive drunk and, like, kill people, right?
Exactly.
Quinn,
get my Hummer.
When I had one back in the early 2000s, Quinn, man, it was I had probation, I drew alcohol classes, drug rehab. I mean, so if you get off like this, you get off easy.
Yeah, I am going to, I will concur. I'm not going to argue with you there.
So
right.
don't drink and drive in Gary,
oh,
Indiana.
Oh, do not do it.
2 a.m. with lubricant.
Do it.
Yeah, Gary, Indiana, just avoid Gary, Indiana, period.
So, the woman that was letting me charge my phone in her car, I was telling her about it, and she's like, what the hell were you? She's like, nah, where I was driving. She's like, you never go on that thoroughfare. You got County, you got Gary, you got New Chicago, you got River Forest cops. Why would you do that? And I'm thinking, I don't know.
But you always defend Gary, Indiana. You always defend
I
them.
Do. And, well, you know what? I'll say if there were the Gary, Indiana cops, I'll bet you they wouldn't have given a shit. They would have been, you know, hey,
you know,
cool. Turn around.
When I lived in the Detroit metro area, the Detroit people used to tell me there's only one place worse than Detroit, Gary, Indiana. They say it's the biggest shithole on the planet.
It is.
See,
there's nothing good about Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
so
like,
living in Detroit.
Have you, DJ, have you been here? Have you been to Gary yet?
Pardon me. Are you talking to me?
I am talking to you. Have you been to Gary? See,
oh, I've been to Gary. I've been all up and down,
no.
Gary.
Yeah. Were you prepared?
It's a shithole. But at least I didn't get arrested.
No,
with lubricant.
I don't believe you.
were you prepared?
Oh, I'm always prepared.
You have some Magnum condoms in your satchel.
No, not Magnum. No. I don't. Magnum condoms? No, absolutely not. I like them fancy lubricated Ramses.
Ramses.
And
I get the Trojans.
It's ribbed.
I get the Duralax from the Dollar General.
Dollar General is one of my favorite places to shop, actually.
They have Ninoxidil 9. That's all you need.
Ninoxidil 9, exactly. Because you know what? That shit might kill some STDs and shit. You know, seriously.
Yes,
so you won't get
HPV. Or anal cancer.
Yeah, no anal cancer. No oral cancer. You know, just plop it, you know, an H, you know, I mean, a non-oxal 9,
okay,
like lubricated condom straight on that penis or wherever. And, you know, no oral cancer, no throat cancer. There we go. Michael Douglas, you know, he should have thought ahead. But anyhow.
He did think about it. Well, I'm glad you didn't get molested too much in prison, Quinn.
Yeah, nobody molested me, thank God. That would have been
see, no, see, I don't buy that. Thank God I didn't get molested. Yeah, not buying it.
I did. I remember I thought quickly and was able to get my own private cell.
Hey, you know, I got to tell you, that's pretty sharp for a drunk.
That is pretty sharp. See, it, yes. Something does not add up here. You're drunk, you get a DUI, you go to jail, but you are, you know, conscious enough to be like, yeah.
Maybe because
I got
it wasn't
skin,
that
skin
drunk.
Disease. Huh?
I said maybe because I wasn't that drunk. Because I wasn't.
Yeah, a point, you know what, though, a point, 0.08 is nothing, and they want to lower it to 0.05.
Right. That's a bunch of bullshit.
It is. This, you know, there was a big thing a couple months ago. They want to lower it to 0.05. That's a pile of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
that
nothing.
Just...
And in California, there's a thing called a wet and reckless, where if you're under the legal limit, if they think you're impaired, they can give you a wet and reckless, which is like a DUI, except your license doesn't get suspended, and you don't have to go to DUI classes. They tow your car and they, you know, they molest you in prison or jail, you know.
You know,
oh
that would be
God.
The only good part of going to prison or to jail.
Oh, yeah.
Getting a little, you know, getting a little play, getting a little, you know, molestation. And
you get
all
a, did you get a full body cavity search, Quinn?
Yeah.
No.
Lip
no,
search?
I
nope.
did not.
Wow.
No.
That's disappointing.
And that's probably. Because I'm an idiot that would share that kind of thing. If it happened, I would tell you, but it did not. So.
Oh well, I know you're pretty honest. I know you tell us you're an honest person. That's
so okay,
so in disease, no.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you don't have throat cancer, Dr. Quinn. But you know what? You said you got a mugshot, and can we? Is there any way we can like pull it up online? I would love to see this mugshot.
Oh
or,
my
yeah.
God!
I would make it my new Facebook avatar or profile picture. Dr. Quinn mugshot. I mean, that's yeah. Lindsay Lohan and all these other
know.
Like spots. Fuck them. Dr. Quinn mugshot is what I'm all about.
Yeah.
Oh my. I, you know what? That's a good point. I don't know if it would be online.
Look like
Gary
Busey with poofy hair.
No, I mean, you know what really?
It'd be like
sucks?
Gary Busey with a cell phone, twittering.
Yes.
No, I saw them. You know my profile picture now. That was the profile picture that I have up now was taken 8 hours prior to my getting arrested. So I
wow.
was slightly more disheveled, but with puffy eyes
uh-huh.
and, you know, like tear-stained face and, you know, it's not a pretty mugshot. I'm not even sure. They did offer me the standard issue bologna sandwich and milk,
yep.
and at that point,
nope.
no, I was
not
hungry.
Kool-Aid? Just bologna sandwich and milk, not Kool-Aid? Then, or...
Yeah, no, there was no Kool-Aid. They try to be healthy there. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Give it to you in a bag.
It like they're really
go.
Progressive
it's
there in Gary, Indiana prison or jail. I mean, wow.
No, I was not in. If it was the Gary jail, I suspect it would have been a lot grosser.
Gary jail.
But no, this was county, so this was, you know, only marginally less disgusting.
Marginally.
But that's
hey, you know what, guys? We're at the end of the show here. God darn, this has been so much fun. I love the. The whole dynamic we have going here. I love the show. And yeah, Quinn, Dr. Quinn, you,
yes.
just, wow, just floor me with your
never
cease
to amaze everybody, don't, ain't it, you know?
But, you know, special shout out to, you know, Street Money and his, you know,
yes.
Street Money,
Thank
Road
you,
to Riches debut album and everything. He was great, you know, and this has been fun, guys. Here we go, you know, let's do this again next week, okay? What do you say? All right,
prison toilet.
We are going to...
Oh, the prison toilet doesn't flush, guys.
Hey, you know what? We're going out here. We're going out. We're going out with a flush. Ready? Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, yeah. Straight down the fucking toilet. Yep.